Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. I've got no Alex today, but I am joined with my special guest, Neil Reynolds. He hosts the NFL on Sky Sports and also Inside the Huddle, his own podcast with the lovely Jeff Reinbold and his own personal one, Neil Reynolds Podcast. Neil, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Yeah, looking forward to, well, chatting about the NFL and about one of the most exciting teams in the NFL now. Pains me to say as a Dolphins fan, but the Bills, they are looking good. They are coming along very nicely indeed.
They are, yes. And I was waiting for you to say Dolphins there and then just have to correct you. But we might have a tiny bit of Dolphins talk at the end.
But I'm quite happy to talk Buffalo Bills.
So what I want to start off first is obviously news came out about the addition of the 17th game. I assume it was in the CBA and finally ratified a couple of days ago. I know it's good for the business, and I know some players, like Alvin Kamara being one of them, actually has spoken out against it. What's your view on this move for the NFL? And is it would it be good? Is it good for the league itself?
Yeah, I think it's good for the general growth of the league. I think when you look at the ridiculous numbers they have been able to draw out of the TV networks in the latest round of deals, you know, more than $100 billion of TV deals. Previous round of deals was about $49 billion. So, you know, you're doubling your profits. You're opening up more inventory for games that can be played internationally. And we've seen that be mandated as a part of this, that there were going to be international games, and not just in the UK, but you know, Canada, Mexico, Germany, South America's on the agenda. So yeah, it's good business. It's generating more interest, I think, in the NFL than ever before. You know, I do feel like it's offering more earning opportunities for players than ever before. I recently spoke with Patrick Mahomes' agent, Lee Steinberg, of course, the real-life Jerry Maguire, and he kind of said he thinks it's blue skies ahead for the NFL. Now, there's a big impact on players, you know, and I think that's the bit that we maybe overlook. You know, I speak to guys that are in the studio with me on Sky Sports, and you know, Cliff Averill's like, this is brutal. You know, 16 regular season games is hard, but this is not forced upon the players. Every single player, Alvin Kamara included, had the chance to vote on this when it came to the last collective bargaining agreement. The players chose to do this. The players knew it was coming. They knew 17 games, potentially 18 down the road. They knew what was coming. They knew what financial impact would be in it, and they voted for it. So, you know, to complain about it afterwards, I think, is futile.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that they're thinking about making the 18th game an international one, which obviously gives us a bit more hope that we see obviously regular carry on with the regular London games on there. I'm assuming they haven't made a decision yet whether they're going to bring a couple over this season or if it's starting from 2022 with the whole pandemic.
So the actual mandated stuff, the mandated stuff begins from 2022. I know there's still an interest and a desire to get games played in London in 2021. Mm. I think the NFL's seeing how things play out. We know how fluid everything is at the moment with the pandemic. So, you know, I think that'll be clearer once the schedule comes out in May, or early May. You know, still a desire to play games here. And I think the four games per year from 2022 doesn't mean that we're going to see a reduction in the UK because there'll be a game in Mexico, there'll probably be a game in Germany. Okay, well, that only leaves two. Well, what this deal allows is somebody like the Jacksonville Jaguars to kind of strike their own deal as well and volunteer to play as many home games in this market as they can. So, I do think it's good times ahead.
Yeah, and also it's definitely good that it opens up and it's making every NFL team actually come over, because obviously we know the Packers haven't been over right. yet, and that'd be good to see them. And obviously I'm praying that the Bills do come over.
Probably have to.
yeah. I mean, this is what my co-host Alex actually did want me to put in. Said, do you have a guess at potentially if they do have a UK game this year, obviously other than potentially the Jags, who would be, or is that something that's still kept a high class secret?
Yeah, no, I think I don't know, and I don't have any information on that. You know, I know that there was a lot of reports last year that Miami were playing Kansas City, Denver were playing Atlanta. Mm. So what happens with, are those games now back in the mix? I don't know. I'm purely speculating. So I don't know if it's a completely new negotiation where, you know, it could be any teams that come for 2021, if they come at all. Again, part of it depends. The Jags are currently in negotiations with Wembley Stadium and the FA. They don't have, they're out of their existing deal. I genuinely don't know. But, you know, I still think there are teams that want to come and play the games here and get that international exposure.
Yeah, and I think everyone, Brent, no matter what team they support, actually really does hope that, because it's just building the fan base even more up here in the UK. And obviously you've got the NFL Academy. You've got the way, obviously, Sky Sports are now promoting it, getting a dedicated channel during the season. And obviously even the International Pathway Program, which I think they had their pro day yesterday at Florida.
They did, yeah. I mean, it's incredible when you think about the routes that have been laid down, not just the games, obviously the game. And this is a huge credit to Alistair Kirkwood, who's just stepped down from NFL UK after 21 years there. Huge credit to him. It's not just bringing games over and selling a bunch of hats and T-shirts and then going away again. You know, they've laid foundations. There are kids who are going to North America. You know, my son's one of them now. Yeah. He's got a scholarship to go to Canada. There are guys that are going to Division I schools in America. When would you ever have that opportunity as a player?
Exactly.
You know, I played in the British League. There was nothing even close to that. And there's going to be more of them. And then they're going to develop and go on to the player pathway. And from there, they can go on to the NFL. I mean, it's incredible what the NFL have done. It's incredible enough just bringing the games here.
Yeah.
And then you think of everything else. You know, you think of the Academy, player pathway, not just to have a TV show on the BBC, but an award-winning TV show. Not just to have American football on Sky, but to have an NFL channel.
Yeah.
We are genuinely living in sort of kind of history-making times in the UK. And I think we're kind of at the forefront of now what's going to happen globally and internationally with the growth of the games. Very exciting.
Yeah. I was going to mention a bit about your son, I guess. If you're over the moon that potentially Reynolds will be throwing a pass in the NFL in a few years time, hopefully.
If he gets into the NFL, though, I've got to step down surely from Sky, because if he throws a pick, so, you know, sometimes I laugh at these quarterbacks when they throw picks. So I won't be able to do that. Suddenly I won't find it so funny, will I?
Yeah.
You know, making a Jameis Winston joke, I won't want to do it if it's George Reynolds throwing a pick six.
It is good. I mean, we'll come on to it in a bit. Like, we've got Effie Abada and Christian Wade that obviously on the Bills now, they've gone through that pathway. I've had Christian Williamson
Scotland Williamson,
Alex Gray. I can't remember the other ones. And obviously the new guys are actually going in that did theirs yesterday. So it's almost like pioneers, so to speak, of the pathway program, and something that definitely will pique a lot of interest in the UK.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting now with the likes of, you know, so if you look at the different pathways that these players are finding to either colleges, so you've got people like George, Freddie Pelling is a tackle, he's got some Division I offers, Seydou Traore is the British wide receiver, is now at Arkansas State. They're going through the academy route. Then, and Freddie was a rugby player, so he crossed over. Then you've got Alex Gray, Christian Scotland Williamson, Christian Wade, who were professional rugby players who switched sports.
Yeah.
Then you've got F.A. Abada, who basically was working in a warehouse and played 5 games for the London Warriors. I mean, you talk about all the different ways you can get there.
Exactly.
And people like Christian and FA needed to do it a different way, but and come in later. Now the academy is going to bring them in and get them into the colleges. And once you're in the colleges, you know, if you do well in college football, you're a draftable prospect. So yeah, the pathway is there in so many different ways. It is really, really cool.
Yeah. So let's move on to the main event, the Bills itself.
Never heard of them.
Well, the team that actually beat Miami with their backups in week 17.
Like a drop. Oh, yeah. Exactly. You mean when Miami actually needed to win the game to get in the playoffs? Yeah. And Buffalo were resting all their starters and still won by 35. Right, I got you. I know which team. Yeah.
With Matt Barkley leading the charge. In this turbulent off season with the salary cap being cut down to 185 on there, and obviously a few good teams having to cut players like New Orleans, Chiefs, Saints, Pittsburgh, and all that. In Buffalo, we've been treated in essence to like a masterclass by Brandon Bean. How have the Bills been able to do this, and are they better than last year in just retaining their own players rather than just the other additions they put in there?
Yeah, I think Buffalo now have to be considered genuine Super Bowl contenders. If you get into the AFC Championship game and leading by 9 in Kansas City, okay, so that didn't pan out, but you're not far away. You're really not far away, and actually, given this offseason, how, as you've just mentioned, so many teams had to offload talent, just keeping your players is a plus. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have done a textbook job, absolutely textbook. And I don't even, I joke about it being a Dolphins fan. I'm a fan of the NFL.
Yeah.
Give me a chance to watch Buffalo against Kansas City or watch Miami. I'm going to watch Buffalo, Kansas City. All right. So, I really like the Buffalo Bills. I really like the way they're made up now as a team. I think Josh Allen's growth is so exciting. It's funny, you watch him in the studio on a Sunday night and I'm kind of watching him and I'm watching the game, and then there's a touchdown on red zone and I'm making a note of that, and there's another touchdown in a different place. And for me, so my eyes are kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
And then the Saturday before Christmas, we didn't have the studio around one of the Bills games. I can't remember who they were playing. Was it Arizona? No, I don't know if it was Arizona. They played it the Saturday before Christmas. And Josh Allen, the 49ers?
Yes. Either that or the Patriots. One of those
so
two.
Whoever it was, I was just sat there just watching that game. I was like, Josh Allen's just so fun to watch. So fun to watch. His progress and development has been incredible. So, yeah, I think Buffalo are right there for me. They can go and win it all, and it would be great to see, because they had some heartbreak in the 90s in the Super Bowls, but they built it the right way as well. The occasional free agency or trade, and I think it's really good, really, really good team now.
Yeah. So in your opinion, it's off the cuff one. Was it a better move by the Bills for keeping their own players, or managed to keep the coordinators, DeBoer and Frazier? Which one out of the two is potentially the better outlook, and how obviously it can affect the Bills going forward?
That's a really good question, actually. I haven't really thought about it. I mean, I like a lot of what Daboll dials up. It can be very creative. It's difficult. I'll probably say the coordinators would be it. Yeah. I mean, keeping that continuity of the message you can send to your players. Obviously, you need the players to go out on the field and do the job. But Leslie Frazier was getting interviewed for head coaching jobs. We saw what he did to Lamar Jackson, in the playoffs. Masterful job there. So look, it's kind of a 1A, 1 and 1A, but both happened for the Buffalo Bills. So you can have an opinion one way or the other, but it's just good that both happened. They are in good shape.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't splash out as big as other teams did with their with the free agencies. We've got Emmanuel Sanders in, Matt Breeder in, obviously Effie as well. Even though they're not huge smashes, did these moves and all the signs we've done actually help us get a little bit more closer to the Chiefs? And if not, what would need to happen for the Bills to actually constantly be right up neck by neck with the Chiefs and obviously overtaking them for the number one.
So I think a couple of the moves have made really good sense. First of all, the fact they haven't made that many moves means they're a good team, right? Desperate teams roll the dice in free agency. Good teams pretty much stand pat and don't do very much. That's kind of the way it's been. Emmanuel Sanders, great signing. Really good signing. Savvy veteran, can still play. You know, again, just adds that depth to the receiving core, so you don't know who you're covering. He's still a top-end wide receiver, in my opinion. FA is a really good signing. FA has developed a knack for getting to the passer, and he started out as a defensive end, and he can still play defensive end, but he can also shift inside and create pressure up the middle. So I like FA. I need to see Matt Breida be healthy again. You know, I think that was kind of wasted year in Miami. So what can he do? I guess the one thing I would say is if Buffalo somehow, whether it's the draft or whatever, I don't know, if they suddenly had a Von Miller or a Shaq Barrett, or you know, somebody off the edge that's going to be a true elite edge rusher who's going to be there week in, week out. And that, to me, is the only thing that I think, and that's only nitpicking, but I think that's the only thing that really kind of stands out to me. I do think they're pretty close to being complete, but I think pass rush is probably an issue.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I think they have to address, obviously, in the draft, if not this year, next year. I mean, cornerback two, possibly, in my opinion, as well, was something. Yep. It's got Trey Wyatt, and we had a revolving door with Wallace, Norman, we've got Dane Jackson coming through. So I think those two positions, I guess, would be the ones to really look for next season.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you can never have enough good pass rushers and never have enough good cornerbacks. And of course, I'm biased. I love Josh Norman, so he's my mate. So I'm quite happy with that. I like the physicality he brings. You know, aside from, you know, everyone made fun of the fact he got thrown out of the club by Derrick Henry, but that happens to a lot of people. But you know, Josh was there when he was healthy, forcing fumbles and punching balls out. You know, he brings it. Yeah, maybe he's not the same cover corner that he used to be, but you know, I worked with Josh quite a bit. I know how feisty he is. I know what he brings to a locker room. And Rob Ryan, who I worked with as well, said there's not a tougher player in run support at the cornerback position in the NFL. He just loves getting his nose dirty.
Yeah. With FA, obviously you can't help to love his backstory, that true underdog, that true guy that come in late and actually has chased his dream. With his growth in Carolina, especially last year when he's been able to kick inside and obviously 5.5 sacks, which if he was on the Bills would lead the team. What more can we expect from him in Buffalo now? Is he in the right scheme, so to speak, in the right fit to potentially take that extra step, a la like Josh Allen, that type of leap?
Yeah, without kind of, you know, I don't profess to kind of know every aspect of Buffalo's scheme. You know, I'm watching all of the league and not necessarily following it as closely as you are. But, you know, I see FA still as a growing player, as an ascending player. I think he's not had any college football. So, obviously, 3-4 years into the NFL now, he's probably just kind of hitting his straps in terms of knowing what he's doing and stuff and being really comfortable with it. And he is growing in confidence. You know, it's funny, I see that just in all kind of ways that FA has to deal with the media. When FA was first discovered by NFL UK, one of the first things he did once a week for about 2 months was go into the NFL London office, and I would give him media training, and we'd be doing all these kind of interview things where people would be sitting around him like he was in a locker room with girls with hairbrushes sort of sticking them under his nose and stuff, just to get him kind of used to it. And he hated it. He hated all that media stuff. Now he speaks well, he speaks maturely. He's really, and I think it's the same as a player. He's grown as a player. He knows he can compete at this level. He sacked Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan. You know, he can bring down the big boys. So, yeah, I think I'm just excited to see him continue playing and to play for somebody like Leslie Frazier. You know, yeah. He was actually really, really, really nice guy away from the X's and O's side of it as well. So I think them two are going to hit it off.
Yeah, he's also got Eric Washington, our D line coach. Obviously, was the defensive coordinator when he was over there. So a lot more a lot more continuity on there, and obviously obviously the boy Christian Wade in there as well won't hurt him settling in and all that. With the addition of Breida and all that, and obviously the new extension of the Pathway program. What is there a path to a roster for Christian Wade? Do you think it's going to be more like special teams and maybe the odd role in there, or what you've seen, if you've seen anything of him? Do you think he could actually get like a third running back role?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Buffalo mixed up their running backs last year anyway quite a bit, and I think the NFL has moved towards that. If you think about the Derrick Henrys of the world, there are fewer of those now. You know, teams use 2-3 running backs. You know, Cleveland used 2 running backs exclusively all through the season. You can have a running back who'll get you, 60 carries in a season and catch 40 passes or something, to add something to the roster. And I think Christian was close last year, from what I was told and what I heard, he was very, very close to making the roster. I think it hurt him probably that he didn't have preseason. Look at what he did the first preseason. So I'm confident he can. I think he's got everything you need. Everything you need to again do it without thinking. Now is the thing.
Yeah.
He's got everything to play in the NFL. He's now had 2 years on a practice squad, been around it. He can do it without thinking. When he first started playing, he's just acting on his instincts, and now I think he can do more. So yeah, I think this is a big year for him, and it'd be great if he makes it, of course, because it's a tremendous story. He, again, another really nice guy, and I kind of applaud and root for those people. He had a perfectly nice life in rugby, right?
Yeah.
Could have carried on playing for a number of more years, cashing the checks, getting a very nice existence in rugby. And he followed a dream. He followed a passion. So I just root for people like that.
Yeah, we had him on the show a couple of months ago, and you just see that humbleness from him, the laugh, and just the experience he's actually got. And he's winning more and more friends now in the within the Bills Mafia community.
Both guys are really good guys. So recently, I did an NFL UK live just before the Super Bowl. I don't know if people saw it, a virtual one. We had Justin Jefferson on, and we talked in the event about it was for cancer research. If I did the Griddy, would somebody donate £100? If somebody donated £100 to cancer research, then I would do the Griddy in the show. So it gets to the end of the show, and none of the fans had donated that much. They were donating, but not £100. So then Christian was like, "Well, I'll do it. Then I'll double you. I'll give you £200 if you do the Griddy." So because Christian said that on air, I did it, and he paid the money to cancer research. I came straight off the show, went onto my phone. An FA had been on for the first half an hour of the show and then left. We were rotating guests. FA sent me a screenshot on my phone that he'd already donated £100 to cancer research as well. And said, "Look forward to seeing you dancing." But I hadn't seen it on my phone because I was doing the show. So thank goodness Christian paid up, because otherwise I wouldn't have danced and FA wouldn't have paid up. But as it was, they both paid for a great
game. No, it's a good feeling. I mean, that's the sort of stuff you need to see nowadays in the NFL. And obviously with these college guys coming through and some of their backstories, it's always nice to see that feel good factor in the NFL. Mm. Obviously, people to root for them. What we'll do now, I'll give you a little bit of time to talk a bit about the Dolphins. I want to do a little bit about the AFC the AFC East on there. I mean, what's going on with them? Of that the double draft, the double trade for the draft picks, does he know where he wants to go? Has he got his honed in now on that pick, or could we see more moves from him?
So I think very cleverly they want to have as many of these kind of draft picks. Draft picks are like lottery tickets. Mm. You know, some you win on, some you lose on. The more tickets you have, the more you're going to get winners. And that's what Chris Greer's done. Again, talk about building it the right way. The Dolphins in the next 3 years are going to have multiple draft picks. I think they've got 15 in the first three rounds or something like that. Maybe not quite that many, but they've got two first-rounders this year, a couple of third-rounders, a second-rounder. They've got a first-rounder next year, second, couple of thirds, two ones the next year after that. And they're a team with no players that are aged 30 or over on the roster. So, again, you're looking at a young team, building team, developing team. And I still think, you know, as much as people got excited about the New England Patriots and free agency this year, building through the draft like the Dolphins are trying to do is the way to go. And I think they'll go wide receiver. I think they'll go wide receiver or tight end early on. If Kyle Pitts is there, they'll take Pitts. If not, I think they take one of the wide receivers, give Tua some weapons. I'm very excited about where the Dolphins are going, but I will admit that I was quite worried what I saw out of Tua at the back end of last year. But then you've got to think about what he was working with. You know, Devontae Parker was in and out of the lineup. There was a game, I remember looking at the injury report just before we were going on air at Sky. And there was a game where Miles Gaskin was injured at running back for the Dolphins. And I was like, oh, that's going to hurt Miami. And then I thought to myself, if Miami are worried about not having Miles Gaskin, all due respect to Miles Gaskin, what does that tell you about their skill position players? So there's work to be done, but I like what Greer and Flores are doing. They're building it the right way. And generally, the AFC East, with the Patriots determined not to go quietly into the night, the Jets probably going to get a quarterback with the second overall pick, and they've already picked up some wide receivers in free agency. I mean, it's funny. It's gone from the Patriots could have the worst quarterback situation in the division. It's been a while since we've been able to say that.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be an interesting AFC East, because obviously it's all pretty much all defensive-minded coaches. Obviously, Robert Saleh actually done well as a coordinator, San Fran, obviously Flores and Greer, what they're doing in Miami, and obviously you can't never rule out Belichick and the Patriots. It's just going to make up for a real strong strong division. So it's going to be a real good struggle, real good battle with obviously the Bills coming out on top, Patriots last, and then the Jets and the Dolphins fighting out for the second.
Well, I will just say, I didn't know if you were going to put me on the spot and ask for a prediction, but to me, it's still the Bills leading the way. You know, again, I think of all those teams in the division, there's good stories that and things that are developing with Miami. Obviously, it's a good interesting offseason if you're a Patriots fan. There's only one team in the division that's a genuine Super Bowl contender, and that's Buffalo.
Yeah, so it's good. Which is good. We do believe that it's going to be the next few years. We've got that, as they call it, the window to do it. But as long as we can keep any one of the three of the teams keep the Patriots off the top spot, I'll be happy with that.
I think everyone will. Definitely. It's exciting times.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, well, you've already put yourself on the spot of who you think is going to win the AFC East. I really want to do something else. What's your very, very early prediction of the Super Bowl next year?
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to welch out on this one. I don't think I've even given it yet. I haven't even given it anywhere. Let me think. I still genuinely, if I'm going to put it down to three, I'll give you a few teams in each conference, but I'm not going to give you a lineup.
Okay, that's fair enough. Two in each conference.
Okay. I'm going to give you three out of the AFC. I think Kansas City, Buffalo, and Indianapolis. Yeah. I think a lot of Buffalo players were saying the best team they faced last year was the Colts in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I think Indianapolis could be a factor. It depends how Carson Wentz goes, but definitely Buffalo and Kansas City are going to be there or thereabouts again. In the NFC, I mean, the Bucs, I can't see them going away. Second year of Brady and the offense, everything, but you know, they're primed to be there or thereabouts again. Do you know what? It's so hard because you just think, I don't want to be too predictable and say Green Bay, but I do feel like I could actually say the conference finalists last year in the AFC Championship game, the NFC Championship game, start as the favourites to be back there again a year later. That's all I can kind of say for
now. That's fine. I'm not gonna tie you down. I'm not gonna pin you down.
It's the most boring prediction ever.
It's fine. I mean, Neil, thank you very, very much for coming on the show. Obviously, where can people find your podcast and the work that you do?
Yeah, so a lot of my work is on nfl.com/UK in terms of writing. My podcast, the Neil Reynolds podcast, it's on a break now. We do it in seasons. So it's the first season finished about 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, but they're timeless stories. So they're life stories of players with their careers. So from high school to college, all through the pros, there's a whole bunch of retired players, current players. You've got Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Norman's on there. And so I'm doing a lot of recording. You can find those wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm starting season two this summer and hoping to get it as a TV program as well. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And also you got your Inside the Huddle with Jeff.
Jeff. Yeah.
Jeff, all going on. Love.
Must be that. An off season. Yeah. Not really.
Who needs one? Who needs one? We got all the podcasts.
It's
to
not like
to.
I've got a proper job, is it? So
thank you very, very much, Neil, for coming on the show. Very much appreciated. And obviously look forward to the work you do, your podcasts, and obviously to the Bills doing the double over the Dolphins this year.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
All right.
You don't know anything about heart. You know anything about work?
Huh? That's who we are.
Those on three. One, two, three.